today, on October 6, 2019, Jesus is still saying the words, "Come follow me. I will make something out of you. I will do something both in and through you. I will change people's lives because of your decision to say yes."
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
It's good to pull people in from our flow, our tribe, DNA, and get some fresh revelation, some fresh perspective. Whenever guest ministers come, I personally expect to receive something. I don't pull people in that I don't know, and if I pull them in, I believe their heart's great, and a great heart is the womb of faith. It's where ministry, hope, breakthrough, all these things are birthed in great hearts. And so I believe God's got a great word for us today. So let's make Pastor Nick Living Hope welcome, shall we?
Come on, give Jesus a hand. Go ahead, clap for him. Awesome. You guys could have a seat. I'm so excited to be able to share a pulpit with this man. I got to know Pastor Doug and Paula a little bit over the past few years, and I can tell you that you guys are beyond blessed at Living Hope Church, okay? Beyond blessed. And I am honored that he would give me a microphone, and not only give me a microphone, but let me stand in front of you all with it, okay? Now, I'm a young man in my heart, okay? I'm 34 years young. I know, you're like, wow, he looks old for his age. But one of the things that I'm recognizing as I get a little older is the fact that I need reminded of things. I need reminders constantly. If somebody tells me something, I instantly pull out a piece of paper or my phone and I put it on my reminders list and I set a timer for it. I make sure that I'm reminded of what I was supposed to do. And today, I want to just bring a reminder to Living Hope Church. I want to give you a reminder of why we all do what we do. And when I say we all, I don't just mean Living Hope. I mean the church. I mean the universal church. And oftentimes we forget things and we need reminded sometimes. And again, I'm just so blessed and honored that Pastor Doug would allow me to give this reminder today. Because I look up to him, not physically, but spiritually. Because he is a giant in the faith. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to jump into the Word of God. Father God, I just submit everything to you today. God, take every word that you want me to speak and speak it, Lord. God, fill this place with your presence. And God, I pray that every word that is spoken today would encourage us. But ultimately, that it would challenge us to do something. God, that we would take this word and not just listen to it here at Living Hope, but we would take it outside of these walls. Because today's not the purpose, today's just practice. The game starts when we leave this place. So God, may we all be ready to be used today and tomorrow and every day thereafter until we're called home to be with you. And God, I pray that every single person in this room would hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when we get to see you. God, may we live for eternity, not for now. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 2:2. This is Paul writing here. He's encouraging Timothy in some things, and he's reminding him of some things that he should do. Now, 2 Timothy 2:2, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, they're one of my favorite two books in the Bible because Paul's just encouraging Timothy to be who he was created to be. And verse 2 here says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Now, church, we need to remember that we've all been given something. We all have something that can be given away. And when we receive things, and I know you receive a ton from Pastor Doug, he's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant sometimes. I was in a class that he taught, and I was getting drowned by all the wisdom and knowledge and things that were being shared through him. Now, my question to you is, are you taking those things and giving them to other people? Or are you being selfish? But we often get stuck in just receiving instead of giving. We often get stuck and say, oh, that was a good word for me. Yeah, it might have been, but it's going to be a good word for somebody else too. And you may be sitting in here today and you may think, I don't have anything to give. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. You have so much to give. Do you want to know the first verse that I ever memorized? Psalm 62:2. For he is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my salvation. I will never be shaken. You know how many times I use that verse? I think God was sick of hearing me say it because that's the only verse I knew. That's all I could give away. That's all I had. But I gave it away. It encouraged people in Walmart, Giant Eagle, Aldi, all those places. Listen, have you ever heard Psalm 62:2? Whatever you've been given, give it away instantly. Don't hoard it until you have what you think is more to give away. We need to be like Timothy and remember that we've been given so many things to give away. And we're going to be reminded today that we need to go outside of these walls and make a difference. We've all been gathered into the kingdom of God. We've all began to grow in our relationship with him, in our relationship with others. We've all learned what it looks like to give of ourselves and to give of our time and our treasure. But a lot of us get stuck there and we don't go anywhere. Let's turn to Matthew 4. We're going to read verses 18 through 19. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Verse 19, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Verse 20, and they left their nets at once and followed him. These verses always just take my mind for a whirlwind because these guys are busy. They're working. How many people work in the room? How many people are looking for work? You always got to raise your hand in church when people ask that because there might be someone next to you that's hiring. Okay, so make sure you share those things. But these guys dropped everything to follow Jesus. And Jesus wasn't just somebody that was walking up and saying, hey, Rico, Would you mind following me? Can you follow me, Rico? Rico's looking at me like I'm absolutely crazy right now. And I think that that's the same way that these fishermen would have looked at Jesus if he would have done it that way. But no, Jesus went to them and said, come, follow me. Come on, Rico, follow me. Follow me. I'm going to make you something different, Rico. Now, I know Rico a little bit here. And I know that he and his wife had made a decision to follow Jesus, not to just be fans of Jesus, but to truly follow him. And Rico was made into something. I don't know who Rico was in the past. I just know who Rico is now. He's a son of God who loves Jesus and will do anything to see people meet him and grow in their relationship with him. That's what I know about Rico. Rico looked at me crazy when I said, come follow me. But he stood up when I said, come follow me. And Jesus did the same thing for these fishermen. Now these fishermen are working. They stink. They smell horrible. Have you ever met a fisherman before? I haven't. The only fisherman I have in my mind is the guy on the Gordon's fisherman box. You know that guy? Now, Rico doesn't stink, but we're just going to pretend that he's a fisherman. He doesn't stink currently. But Rico knows that when Jesus asks something, he's going to do it. He dropped everything at his seat and came up. Now, Rico, you could have a seat. Go ahead and clap for Rico. It's okay. He's really nervous. But why did those words, "come follow me," mean anything to these two individuals? Let me tell you why. Because back in that culture, rabbis would go to the best of the best, the guys that had the most calling, the guys that had the most fire in them, the guys that were the most intelligent, and they would say, "Come follow me." And then they would go on to further their education. They were picked out because somebody saw a purpose in them. Now, if you weren't picked out by the rabbi, you went and did your family trade. You went and worked for a living. You went and became a fisherman. You went and worked in the fields. You went and did something that was really, really hard because somebody didn't see enough in you to invest in you. And these guys heard Jesus say, "Come follow me." And instantly, I believe that in their hearts, they're like, "I'm worth something. I can be something. I can be somebody that has a purpose, somebody that has a passion, somebody that can be used for something bigger than myself. I don't just have to be a fisherman any longer." And I believe there are people in this room that you just haven't made that jump yet to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. But I'm telling you today, on October 6, 2019, Jesus is still saying the words, "Come follow me. I will make something out of you. I will do something both in and through you. I will change people's lives because of your decision to say yes." Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17 said, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." You know, there are people here today that you truly believe that you are full on being discipled by somebody, you're full on discipling somebody else. And if you agree to those words, we're no different than the disciples that were spoken about here. Actually, we have it a little different predicament than these guys had. These guys got to walk with Jesus. They got to see Jesus. They got to worship with Jesus. And they still doubted. So that leads me to believe that there's still people here today that you may be discipling somebody, you may be somebody that's being discipled, but you still have doubt. You can still get stuck in being doubtful. But Jesus' answer, I love it. He told the disciples in verse 18, he says, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Everybody say all. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but last time I looked up all, it means everything. Lacking in nothing. Jesus was given that type of authority. "Therefore, I want you all to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now listen, Jesus is giving us instruction here. These are the red letters. These are Jesus's words. He told us, he didn't say sit still, wait, hang out till some people come to you, and then if you feel up to it, tell them about me, and then if they sign up on their own, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only if they push. They ask for it, okay? No, Jesus didn't say that to the disciples. He said, go and do this. Go and do something. Go and give away the things that I've given you. Sounds a lot like 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul was reminding Timothy of the same thing. Go and do something. Go give it away. Mark 3:13-15 says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Jesus gave away everything for us. Sometimes we need reminded of that. We need reminded of the fact that Jesus gave up everything for us so that we could receive what he's giving us and then we can go and give it away to others. And we have the same authority that he has. But we don't walk in that authority every day. We walk a little timid from time to time. We get stuck in our doubt, just like the disciples did, but we get stuck in a place that is keeping us from moving forward. Now, we're all thinking sometimes, well, you know, the disciples had it easy. They got to see Jesus. They got to walk with Jesus. They got to do all these amazing things, and they had a model right in front of them. Church, we have the same model. We can experience the same things. Sometimes I believe that we're not experiencing those things because we're not walking in complete obedience to him. We receive confirmation that we heard from God after we walk in the obedience of what he said. And it instantly happens. And why is this important? Why is this important for us to go out and share the gospel with people, share the good news with people? I'll tell you why. There are people dying in your community. Pastor Doug and Paul, I'm sure, weep over the people that they've seen or met or come in contact with in La Trobe and Ligonier and Greensburg and the surrounding areas. There are people dying. And I'm not talking just about a physical death. No, I'm talking about a slow, brutal, spiritual death. There are people sitting at home right now so full of anxiety, so full of fear, so full of depression, addiction, all of these things. And we believe we have the answer to that, but we're sitting at our house. Church, I never want to leave anything on the field anymore. Ever. Let me tell you why. I've had too many people that I've graduated with die. And I could have shared the gospel with them. I could have been more purposeful. I could have been more passionate. I could have been walking in more authority. Young lady recently, the most recent one, I bumped into her after a wedding on a Saturday night in Speedway because I needed a hoagie, and they're $5. $5 hoagies, okay? Extra meat is $2, so we're about $7.50 and some change. You're full, okay? I'm standing there, and she's in line. Haven't seen her in years. She's a friend of my sister, so she's about 5 years older than me. And she's standing in front of me, and she's rustling through her purse trying to pay for her coffee. And she turns around without the coffee. She sees me. I said, hey, how are you? She said, I'm okay. I could tell she wasn't running back to her car to get more money. She didn't have any in the car. So let me buy your coffee. You want something to eat? Let me get you something to eat. She said, thank you so much. I said, no problem. She's like, how's the church going? I said, church is doing great. You should come and see us one Sunday. We'd love to have you. Told her the times, gave her my business card. And that was it. 2 weeks later, she OD'd. Could I have gone the extra mile? Absolutely. Could I have reached out to the people that knew her and had my wife reach out to her and all those things? Yeah, I could have, but I just invited her and said, I hope you show up. That's not walking in authority. That's walking in timidness. If we believe that we have something to give away, why aren't we giving it away? If we believe that we have the power of a life-changing gospel, why are we holding on to it? There's a group of performers called Penn and Teller. Anybody ever heard of them? They're comedians and they're not funny, but magicians, whatever you call them. Penn is the big one. He's the one that talks. Teller doesn't talk. I don't understand why his name's Teller if he doesn't talk, but he doesn't. Okay? Penn is a well-known atheist. He's like all-in atheist. And he posted a video. You can find this video. He does like a vlog. And he wants to tell us a story about a man that was at his show. And he saw the man standing in the other end of the room, and he was kind of like waiting to give him something, and he could see him. He wasn't being weird about it, but he could tell that he was a businessman of some sort. And finally, he was able to come up and talk to him, and he walked up and he said, listen, I know, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, I know who you are, and I know your life a little bit. He said, but I just want to give this to you. And he handed him a Bible. And Penn was just completely blown away by this. Like, you know I'm an atheist, right? He said, yeah, I know, but I wanted to share this with you. I needed to evangelize to you and let you know that there's a living God that loves you and has a plan for you and has a purpose for you. And Penn didn't push this guy away or tell him to leave or tell him to get away from him. He listened to him because he respected him. He said he wasn't weird. He was a respectable businessman. He wasn't weird about it. And Penn is sitting in front of his computer screen recording this video, and he said these words, which changed me. If you believe in heaven and hell, how much do you have to hate people to not tell them about Jesus? How much do you have to hate people? He said, I didn't receive the gospel. I didn't receive Jesus, but I respect that man for sharing it with me, because how dare he hold on to that information if he believes it to be true? I'm just going to let that stick with you for a second. When's the last time you shared your faith? When's the last time you invested in somebody else's life? When's the last time you went the extra mile knowing that you may never get anything in return? Church, people are dying. And we have eternal life for them. And we keep it in here on Sunday mornings. Sundays aren't the goal. So how do we make sure that we're continuing to walk in a way that's God-honoring? John 15, verses 1 through 4. Again, the red letters, the words of Jesus. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Church, if you feel like you're not being fruitful, if you feel like you're not producing the things that you should be producing as a follower of Jesus, my question to you is, are you connected to the vine? I've never seen an orange in Giant Eagle growing in the bushel. If you ever see one, you let me know immediately. We're going to write a book about it. We're going to take pictures. We're going to make millions. But fruit can't grow when it's not connected to the tree anymore. Fruit can't. So if you're not connected to the tree, how can you expect to be fruitful? And there may be some things in your life that need to be cut away so that you can grow a little bit more. Now, I know I'm as big as a tree, but I don't want to be a tree that's being pruned sometimes. It doesn't look enjoyable. You ever see a big pair of loppers? But sometimes the tree needs to be trimmed so that it can withstand more stuff. I have a tree in my backyard that it's needed trimmed a few times, and it's gotten stronger and stronger every single time. Every time. So my question to you is, what is in your life that needs to be trimmed away so that you can be more fruitful? And I'm not just talking about your own stuff. I'm talking about that relationship that might need to be cut off. I'm talking about that negative person in your life that continues to pull you down. I'm talking about that people from your past that try to pull you back into the world that you came from. Church, we need to be able to be pruned so that we can be fruitful, not for our own selves, but for the glory of the King. I had a lot of things that needed cut off my life. And some of them started growing back again. Loppers came out again. So my question is, what season are you in when it comes to growth? Because lots of things can grow. Negative things can grow. Poison ivy grows. Negative things grow. Weeds grow. But what season are you in for growth? There are different things that grow in different seasons. People are like, nothing grows in Pittsburgh in the winter. That's a lie. Potholes grow in the winter. That's their season. That is their time to shine. Okay? What grows in the fall? Nothing grows in the fall. I got some mums that are killing the game right now. Mums grow in the fall. I got time for a bunny trail. You want to hear a funny story? My sister-in-law had these two mums at her house. And she tried her hardest to keep them alive. She just doesn't really have a green thumb. And she killed them. And we're having a connection group. My wife's having a connection group at their house that night. And one of the girls walks in and says, Nikki, how are you? She's like, I'm okay, but my mom died. And the girl started weeping and getting ready to pray. No, 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 no. My mom flower passed away. Words are everything. Clarification's everything. Things grow in different seasons. So you need to just find out, where are we at as a church? Where am I at as an individual, and how am I helping somebody else grow? If you're not helping somebody else grow, you're not walking out 2 Timothy 2:2. Luke 9:1-2. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them the power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In the red letters, Jesus said, now Jesus is really, he doesn't hold back. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their own fate. What do these verses tell me? These verses tell me that when we walk outside of these walls and believe and prepare that we're going to have divine opportunities to share the gospel, we're not supposed to need to prepare for anything because Jesus will give us everything that we need to fulfill the mission. Don't take money, don't take clothes, don't take food, don't take a walking stick. Just go and do it. I've already prepared you. Preparation enables us to have action. But some of us just stop at preparation. We stop there. We want to continue to be prepared and prepared and prepared and prepared and prepared. And then by the time we're done, we forgot about it. Jesus knows what he needs to provide, when he needs to provide it. But you need to walk in obedience before the provision comes sometimes. Somebody talked to me once about a message similar to this, and they said, Pastor, this is your job, though. This is your job to do that. It's your job to evangelize. It's your job to be somebody that's within the community. It's your job to do that. And I said, no, my job is to equip others for the work of the ministry. The day I became a pastor, my job changed from one thing to another. I was the same person 13 years ago as I am today when it comes to having a heart to share the gospel. I just have the blessing of being full-time at a church. But that didn't change my desire to fulfill the Great Commission. It just gave me a little more time to do it. So I'm jealous of some of you today. It's not your job, but it's your purpose. And I'll take purpose over employment every single day of the week. So what does a follower of Jesus look like? Number one, a follower of Jesus knows that they have the authority that is needed to complete the purpose that he's given us. If you're not walking in authority, you're walking in timidness. You're walking in fear. Authority is what we are called to walk in. Number two, followers of Jesus walk in supernatural power. You expect to see the supernatural. Everyone in this room is gifted in some way, shape, or form. Everybody outside of these walls in the world, they're gifted in some way, shape, or form. But God does not want our natural giftedness. No, he wants what he's placed inside of us to be used in a supernatural way. When a gift lines up with an anointing from God, amazing things happen. The young man that leads worship, what's your name, sir?
Josh.
How long have you known Jesus?
Most of your life?
Okay, so you were born into this, kind of. When did you really start following him, though?
He threatened you.
You chose. He didn't threaten you? Are you sure? There's a safe place to talk. Okay. Could you play an instrument before you were really following Jesus? But when that gift lined up with Jesus, it became a supernatural gift. Because what you did up there, young man, was amazing. You're a very gifted young man. You're very, very gifted. Okay? But that giftedness needs to stay in contact with the anointing. You need to stay connected to the vine, or the world will use that gift too. Okay? And that's the same for all of us. We walk in supernatural power. I received a prophetic word from Brother Rod Aguilar. And he said, Nick, God can see that you have broad shoulders. Nick, God can see that you're a big man. God can see that you're strong, but he wants nothing to do with your natural strength. He wants everything to do with his supernatural strength that's going to work through you. Changed my life. If you continue to do it on your own and your own natural strength, you're going to get tired. You're going to get burnt out. You're going to get beat up by the world. But if you wake up knowing that there's a supernatural God that wants to work through you that day, whew, watch out, world. Followers of Jesus, number three, they do not get entangled in the things of this life. There are things in this life that are trying to keep you stuck, trying to keep you entangled, trying to keep you trapped. Followers of Jesus, transform lives. Now, you can't change anybody on your best day. You can't do it. It's not possible. I'm sure some of you have tried. We don't transform people, but we are a representation of the one who transforms. So my question to you is, when you walk outside of these walls, do people see Jesus? You may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Do they see Jesus? And I'm not talking about you standing on a street corner preaching the word of God, screaming that you're going to go to hell, turn back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you smiling at people. Be a friendly person. Aldi. Anybody shop at Aldi? Listen, I understand the craziness in Aldi sometimes. I don't know why they have to throw things over the conveyor belt into your cart. I don't know why. But ask them how their day's going. That's your first initiation to a conversation about Jesus. You don't have to know chapter and verse. You don't have to give them a dissertation or a teaching. You just have to be a representation of the love and hope of Jesus Christ. Love people. And be a representation of the one who transforms. Chipotle. You want to know how to get more food at Chipotle? Get them out of production mode. When you walk up, burrito or bowl? I never answer burrito or bowl right off the bat. Say, hey, how's your day going? Instantly, their guard falls and they forget what they're doing. You're doing a great job behind the line today. I'll have a bowl with extra rice, extra beans. I'm on some extra fajita stuff. And then you're talking, and then you say, I'd like steak. And when they put the first portion of steak on, that's when you tell them you want extra. Because if you tell them extra on the front end, they're going to just put it all on there in one scoop. No, slow it down. Get into people's worlds. Get into people's worlds. I used to think that I would never be evangelistic because my idea of an evangelist was that guy that's standing on the corner screaming to people, you're going to hell. And that did nothing but push me away. But I heard about this term, relational evangelism. I'm going to get into your life. I'm going to get into your boat. I'm going to love you, care for you, invest in you. I'm going to invite you out for coffee. I'm going to take you out to dinner. I'm going to invite you over to my house, but you're bringing dinner. All of the above. With the hope that I get the opportunity to tell you about Jesus. And people can debate your doctrine, they could debate your theology, but they cannot debate a changed and transformed life. They can't debate it. This is who I was, this is who I became, this is who I'm becoming. They can't debate that. But we don't let it out sometimes. Followers of Jesus, number five, they overcome rejection. People aren't going to like you. people aren't going to like you even if you don't talk about Jesus. Some of you. Rejection comes with the game, folks. It comes with it. And you know what Jesus said? Dust the dirt off your shoes and move on. Somebody else might water that seed that you planted. We need to get used to rejection. But we fear so much. Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. I don't want to be stuck in a trap. Safety sounds way better to me. I don't want to fear people anymore. I don't care what people think of me. But we fear that so much, and we fear it to a point where we get more concerned with our reputation than our character. Your character is not who you are when you're in front of everybody. No, your character is who you are when you're by yourself. Your reputation is what people see. We need to be more concerned with character than we are with reputation. I want to be the same person on Sunday morning that I am Sunday night, and I want to be the same person Sunday night that I am Monday through Friday and Saturday. But we fear people and we get trapped in that. So Luke 9:6 says, so they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Church, this is a building that you're in. And you guys are the church. And church did not start at 10 a.m. Church starts whenever we dismiss you to go. That's when you're called to be the church. That's when you're called to go and do something, just as the disciples did. They heard what Jesus said, and he said, go do it. I'll leave you with this. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, and I'm going to read to you out of the message because I just love how it communicates. I don't preach from the message, but it's the last thing that I read. I start New King James, then I go NASB, and then I'll read the ESV, and then I'll read the NLT, and then all the way at the end, I'll read the message. And I love the way that this communicates. It says, even though that I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant of any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message, and I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Church, let's stop talking about it and start doing it. Let's stop thinking about it and start taking action. Go into your world and change it. I didn't say go into the world. I said your world. Because you can't change the world, but you can change your world. What's your world? Your workplace, your school, your family, your friends, your neighbors. Father God, may we not talk about it any longer. And may we walk out your word in 1 Corinthians 9 and go and do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.